Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with...
Septim Weber of the Washington Ballet.
And Luis Torres of the Washington Ballet.
And they are here to talk about The Nutcracker, which hits the Warner Theater December 3rd through the 27th.
That's it.
Got it. Thanks so much for coming in, guys.
It's great to be here, as always.
Awesome. So how many years have you been doing The Nutcracker? This is sort of like an annual tradition, right?
That is true. Actually, the Washington Ballet's first Nutcracker premiered in December of 1961.
Wow.
So this has been a long time.
We remember it well, don't we?
Yeah, right. But actually, this production is 10 years old. The version that we do now, which is my choreography, it's set in historic Washington, D.C. in Georgetown in 1882. And Clara dreams through time. And The Nutcracker is based on George Washington, the Rat King is George III. And Act Two is danced among the cherry blossoms in full bloom on the banks of the Potomac. So it's a D.C.-centric production, and it's about 10 years old.
Oh, the D.C.-centric version's about
right.
10? Okay, that's what I was going to ask. So before, for many years, back in 61...
We danced Merry Days. It was a very classic Nutcracker, right. Really beautiful, effervescent, but a classic.
Gotcha. And how long have you been... directing it?
I've been directing, well, I created this one 10 years ago, but I've been here as artistic director of the Washington Ballet since 1999, so I mean 16 years.
Okay.
And having fun.
Yeah, after directing it for 16 years, do you ever, does it ever feel like you're going through the motions, or is every year you find a way to spruce it up?
You know, there's like three or four elements that make it fresh every year. Number one is the music. Tchaikovsky's music is just so gosh darn great. It's really a masterwork.
You almost need it once a year to.
You do. I mean, you're not sick
keep
of turkey.
Your soul alive.
It's like you're not sick of turkey on Thanksgiving, you know?
Yeah.
And so it feels right at that time of year. Yeah. The second is that we have so many cast members. Literally, we have 540 dancers in the Nutcracker. I'm not kidding. So having
every night.
No.
I'm okay. That stage isn't big enough for that.
I would need a nice cocktail before the show if that were the case. No, we have about 100 dancers a show and multiple casts. And every year there are premieres happening. Young kids are the one year they're a bumblebee, the next year they're a soldier. And even in the company, one year you're in the Corps de Ballet. This year, and then the next year you're the Sugar Plum Fairy. This year I think we have about three or four dancers premiering their first Sugar Plums with the Washington Ballet. It's really exciting. So I think Luis and I have a really great, and our colleagues have a great time kind of helping mentor the dancers into new roles. That's really exciting.
That keeps it fresh for you.
Yeah. And the third thing is we do make little changes here and there. You know, every year I got a little special surprise for the artists. Mm-hmm. And the fourth thing is actually audiences have a very special time this time of year. You know, people come with people they love to the Nutcracker. It's something that your grandfather will bring his grandson, right. A mom will bring her daughter,
right.
a young woman, a millennial who grew up dancing will bring her boyfriend to his first ballet. It's a time when people introduce other people that they love to the great world of ballet. So audiences are there primed for a really warm, wonderful experience. And it's just, it's terrific.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Tchaikovsky was a millennial too, wasn't he?
At some point.
I want to get to Luis.
In about 1850, he was.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. I don't even know if they had terms for that back then. That was well before the baby boom. I want to get to Luis in a second, but you said something interesting about how this Nutcracker in particular is sort of almost like a gateway. Introduction for some people, you said that maybe a girlfriend will introduce a boyfriend to the ballet, or you know, talk about why does the Nutcracker, you know, why is it almost like a good introductory ballet for those that, you know, maybe aren't into it yet, and why, you know, diehard ballet fans still also love it after all.
So the good thing about the Nutcracker is that the music is very popular, so people know the music, so they feel comfortable with the music. And this version in particular, Septim has done a great job creating it very familiar to the people watching it, because he has the American story. So they're looking at things that they're familiar with, and also with the music. And it's very entertaining. He keeps the first act moving, and there's a lot of American jokes in it. So people feel comfortable looking at the ballet, and they don't feel like, oh my God, I don't know anything about tutus,
right.
But just seeing the story and hearing the music, they feel part of it because it's familiar.
For sure. And what roles will you be playing this year?
So this year I'll be playing Drosselmeyer, who is the godfather of Clara and creates a Nutcracker. And I also play Clara's father and the Rat King and Mother Barnum.
So you're gonna make them an offer you can't refuse.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, the magic starts there.
That's hilarious. Actually, when Brando is shot in The Godfather, they're picking out Christmas gifts. So there,
that
there's
is
the tie-in.
True.
There
you go.
We're getting off track. Let's bring it back. Awesome. Tell me about is there when you're out there on stage? Is there a certain dance that you really look forward to?
Well, I really like.
You can't say the whole thing.
No, but the grandfather dance is fun because it starts very elegant and very serious, and then Septim created a grandfather, actually the grandfather dances in the middle of this very serious grand dance. So I really enjoy that one because you never know how the grandfather is going to finish that dance. It's always an element of surprise.
Luis, it's so fun to hear you say that you love that little part.
Yeah.
It's really fun. Funny, yeah.
Because it's very elegant. Because it starts very elegant and the music is so grand, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's like a little inside joke, like, oh my God, there he goes again. Why is he doing that? We're so embarrassed. We have people here and he's acting up. So it's a nice twist to the whole setup.
It's actually a wonderful, wonderful more moment. I have a couple of other things.
Were you surprised that he picked that? Or
kind of, yeah, actually. Because actually, Luis is, as a performer, so charismatic, and as a dancer, so physical. He's danced his whole career just putting it out on the line. You know, he's one of those like go for the jugular kind of performers. And he chose a really sweet moment, a really humanistic moment. So it's surprising because it's not like the rigorous dancing, but it is true. It's a really warm and real moment. Mm-hmm. So that's also
maybe that's why it stands out to you. Yeah.
I, on the other hand, have two particular moments. One is in Act Two, I've adapted the Arabian dance to dance for two Anacostia Indians. Oh, the Anacostia tribe was the tribe of Native Americans that lived here in the Washington region before Europeans came.
And it is one sexy dance.
Really that fun. Thing is gorgeous. Yes. It's really, it's definitely the dance for the adults that brought their kids.
Cover your eyes, kids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's one. The second is, in all honesty, it's rare. There's a lot of wit in Nutcracker, but it's rare in the ballet world that you actually get a belly laugh. Mm-hmm. I love that I've been able to put a couple of belly laughs in the first few minutes of the production. And there's a moment when Clara's father throws a rat across the stage and the butler catches it in a chafing dish. It's really hilarious. Yes. It sounds silly, but it's really funny. Exactly. So it works. It works
when you get
great.
That belly laugh, I'm sure you do that on purpose to put it kind of up front. When the audience gets that belly laugh, can you sort of see them, viscerally see them, like sort of loosen up in the chair?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I sit at the back row every show, and I could just see everyone sitting straight up in their seats at the beginning, and then I could see everyone sitting back just a little bit more comfortably. Yes. You know, people come to the ballet thinking, this is elegant, I've got to behave, it's like a witch. Is this a fish fork or is this what fork do I use?
Yeah, right.
The kind of a little nervous about deportment. Right. And I think it gives them permission to be themselves.
I love it. And Luis, so you, Septim mentioned that he was a little surprised you picked sort of the more, intimate moment.
Yeah.
What are some of the more go for the jugular moments that he's talking about?
Well, the Arabian dance. Yeah. So I've been in the production since the beginning. So I was here when he choreographed her at the beginning. So I've grown with the production and I've gone through many parts. Mm-hmm. The Snow Parade is very beautiful because of the music and the choreography that's put together is very lyrical, is very beautiful. But definitely I have to agree with him that Anacostia is absolutely sexy and out there. And also, I danced it, so it's artistically fulfilling to do as well.
Awesome.
The Frontiersman is pretty energetic. It's like an amazing guy, kind of like Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett, really blowing the roof off the joint. There's really some star turns. So there's like stuff really, at every moment, there's something of interest to just about anyone in the house.
So he breaks out in the Born on a Mountaintop in Tennessee. You know,
exactly, actually. Yes. There's a banjo. There's like dueling banjos in our Nutcracker.
Well, since this is the Nutcracker, you know, with wooden teeth, you know, do people, when you go for the jugular, is it hard because it's wooden teeth as opposed
to...
Yeah,
but you still get the blood.
Oh, really?
You still get the blood.
So cover your necks when you go into Warner Theater, guys. Yes. You know, this is going to be awesome. Okay, cool. And then every year there's cameos too, right? We get Nat's president sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I wonder who else. else we might have this year. December 17th.
December 17th, I will be on the stage with these guys. What is it, like a party scene?
It's the party scene, absolutely.
I don't have to do any dancing, right?
You will be, actually, that's not true. We're going to have you doing...
This is the first I'm hearing of what... All right, so what am I in for? Let's go.
No, you know, actually, I think right after this interview, we have your costume fitting for the bling, the tutu and the tiara. Jason, you're going to look good.
Great.
No, you are
going
to...
I haven't saved this interview. I think I can close it.
No, I see the little red flashing light, Jason. I see the red flashing light.
Funny, we're out of time. All right.
No, actually, you are... The production is set at a moment when Washington, D.C. was becoming a major international capital.
Right.
And you play the elegant ambassador from parts unknown.
Do I wear a tux? What do
you
I wear?
You wear a tux. Actually, you wear a very exotic turban.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And a sash.
All right.
And
usual Thursday night.
Yeah, you're exactly. Yeah. And so get ready for some bling, and you'll be sharing the stage not just with the 540 dancers of the Washington Ballet, right, but also with the Washington National Presidents, racing presidents.
Awesome.
So you'll be able to see Teddy Roosevelt fall down and whatnot.
Man, come on, poor Teddy has it hard enough.
Poor guy.
Does he get it put to him again this time?
He does. Actually, they've been doing it every year. It's become a tradition. Actually, yeah. Once a year they'll do this thing. I choreographed a kind of a special dance for them.
Nice.
It's a kind of a parody of Swan Lake, the Four Little Swans, and now it's become the Five Little Presidents since they added whoever it is, Grover Cleveland or someone like that.
That's hilarious.
And actually, they were so excited about it. Last year, they commissioned tutus for the racing presidents. They actually have giant tutus.
Whoa.
As a matter of fact, I think there was a run on Tulle. They brought took the price of the world price of, right, of ballet netting up by 10 points because of the volume of ballet netting they used.
So see, if you want to see the Nets, Teddy in a tutu. The headline just wrote itself. I'm excited to take part in this. It's going to be fun. It's like a party scene.
It's the party scene. It's actually the Clara's. Okay. It's Drosselmeyer and Clara. It's the Christmas Eve party. So it's fun. It's very energetic, and you'll have to not trip.
Awesome. Well, I'll do my best.
And you can pray to the audience. You can prove to audiences in D.C. that you have not just a face for radio, but a face for the stage, too.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, they've been wondering that. Awesome. What else have we missed? How about the sets?
Sets and costumes, when we first premiered this 10 years ago, our board raised about $1.8 million for sets and costumes. So the production quite literally looks like $1 million. It's really amazing.
Wow.
And the sets and costumes, the sets are based, the party scene is set in a mansion based on Dumbarton Oaks. And little bits of Americana have been weaved throughout the whole production. For example, Drosselmeyer brings gifts, and he brings a giant Humpty Dumpty. And Humpty Dumpty was originally a rhyme that the American colonists made up to make fun of George III.
So that's the King's Horses, and
yeah,
I never knew that.
Yeah, and it breaks open, and John Paul Jones and Miss Liberty are inside. We also is a period of great fascination that Americans had with the American West. So I've the Hopi Indian, the Native American Kachina doll is a gift that Drosselmeyer brings. And we've adapted all the divertissement for Act Two to reflect American culture. For example, the traditional Mother Ginger or Mother Gigon of French dance is Mother Barnum and her American circus clowns. So our costume designer researched these beautiful clown costumes from the 19th century that are recreated with a giant carousel that's about, it's about 20 feet wide, and it's huge. So the whole production has these elements. Instead of flying away on a sled, Clara flies back home in a hot air balloon from the World's Fair, one of the World's Fair at the late 19th century.
Yeah. I don't know how it works.
Yeah. I'll get you, my little pretty.
Awesome.
There's lots of fun. And actually, you asked earlier why audiences keep coming back. We really took a great effort to ensure that the production was swift and had humor in it and made people feel welcome, but that it also had a lot of really great physical neoclassical dancing, so that the diehard balletomane, a dance fan who goes to has seen ballet since, you know, growing up, maybe dance themselves, would be interested, so that when the Sugar Plum bust a move, it's a pretty good busting of move.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to compromise the art of it.
No, not at all. So it's really great artful production, mm-hmm. and fun. And also it's in the Warner Theater, which is just like a jewel box. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's gorgeous. It was renovated some years ago. It's just this beautiful gold gilt extravaganza and just feels appropriate towards the holidays.
Cool. Is there anything else?
Well, there's lots to talk about, but I think the biggest thing that people will be talking about is that Ambassador on December 17th.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
In addition to, you know, the 17th, which we talked about, there's also other special days along, because it's got a pretty much almost month-long run, but
sure.
What are some of the other special days?
Sure. Well, we have 8 shows a week, and it's really, so anyone can come anytime, but we have a few,
like
there's
the
a few flash, exactly, a few flash points. Throughout the production, there's special moments to come. Our cameo appearances are exciting, and we usually surprise people with those. But also, our family day on December 9th is really, really fun. For about an hour before the show, there are lots of interactive activities for all ticket buyers. You can check our website, www.washingtonballet.org. But it's a really exciting kind of hands-on. You meet the Sugar Plum, you meet Drosselmeyer, storytelling. There's really just a fun time. Watching an open rehearsal backstage, that's pretty special. Also, the Nutcracker Tea Party at the Willard is a gorgeous, gorgeous event. Audiences come to see the Nutcracker on December 13th. And following that, go to a really old-fashioned children's and adults tea party at the Willard Theater.
Nice.
At the Willard Hotel. So a fantastic opportunity.
Do you have to have the pinky up while you sip?
No, crumpets? No, we do have crumpets.
Nice.
And but you, the pinky up is optional for sure.
Pinky optional. See.
Pinky optional.
There you go.
For sure.
Cool. Do you find that the, let's say, family day actually brings out more family members? Or, I mean, I'm sure families come every day, but.
Sure. Actually, we have a strong sales throughout, and most towards the end of the run, you know, all shows are sold out. But family day is exciting because it's a moment when people can see behind the scenes. So we actually, for example, I really literally run a rehearsal for audiences watching. The soldiers are in their rehearsal clothes, and they can see it come together in me sort of yelling into the God mic, as they call it, getting
kids
in line.
What he's been doing ever since that was before we started rolling. He was yelling into our God mic. Me and Louise were scared.
That's true. That's true. We also once a year have military night, and so we salute our troops.
Awesome.
Quite a number of wounded warriors attend.
Perfect.
And some of the top brass in USO are in attendance and do some cameo appearances. So that's always really fun. It's a really great way to salute our troops. And it's fun. Actually, last year, one of the wounded warriors proposed to his girlfriend on stage right before the show.
Wow.
So then we have that happens about once a year. Someone will call and ask if they can propose to their girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever.
How was it? How does that work? Like, the audience is there and they think the curtain's going to go up for the show, and all of a sudden he came out? Or take me into that moment.
It actually all depends on the situation. In the case of this Wounded Warriors, we had a special event with all just the warriors there and their families, being introduced and being addressed by myself and also some of the top brass of the military, our Undersecretary of Defense, etc. And actually, it was at the tail end of that he came on stage and popped the question to his girlfriend. Other times, just as the music will start, often we know about it, but sometimes we don't, and someone will just get on their knee and propose, and sort of the audience kind of like sees something happening, and it's,
well,
you know,
someone's going for the jugular.
Actually, a couple of years ago, we had a special event. One of our ballerinas, a Cuban ballerina, Laura Urgellas, was nationalized on the morning of her first Sugar Plum of that year, her promo Sugar Plum premiere. So I announced to the audience that this was a really special day for her, and could she get, they give her some extra love because she was now an American citizen. And she actually had little American flags that she bowed with at the end of the show. So there's always some sweet, you know, honestly, what's great about Nutcracker is it really brings people together.
It's a good community event.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that was one of the goals in the production. The way we interact with our families and our friends at the holidays is very special. It's really an intergenerational moment with families of, you know, every generation of families that really come together purposefully about celebrating together, about renewing our relationships, about life in general, about you know, celebrating the way in which we're connected. And that was certainly built, that is built into the DNA of the Nutcracker experience. It's in the show itself. In the characters, I mean, I'm actually describing it on stage quite thoughtfully, but also the way we've designed the experience for interactions at the Warner Theater, for families to come together, a crowded, bustling, bustling lobby, and the way we introduce the show each time, teaching kids to say bravo, brava, and bravi, and just generally speaking, it's just a fun. It fosters a really fun sense of connectivity.
And those sentiments are exactly what this time of year is supposed to be about, right?
Completely.
So it's perfect. So, SEP team, Luis, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
We will see you soon. On stage.
On the 17th. Oh, yeah. No. Well, yeah, before we go, what are the actual dates? It's December 3rd.
3rd through 27th at the Warner Theater, WashingtonBallet.org.
You can get your tickets there?
That's right.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks again, guys. Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Cheers.